Hey, y'all. Welcome to Co-Parenting Past Chaos, a podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered insight on marriage, divorce, the crazy adventures of co-parenting, and so much more with your hosts, April and Lauren. Not only are we best friends, we are also the wife and former wife of the same man. Join us each week as we take you on a journey inside our wild and chaotic lives and show you how we were able to forge and maintain a positive co-parenting relationship while collectively parenting a lot of kids with a few husbands. We're definitely not professionals and we'll probably get you into more trouble than you bargained for, but what we do have is a sense of humor, street smarts, and a few decades of experience under our wife, mom, and divorcee belt. This ain't your mama's podcast. Welcome to episode 109 of Co-Parenting Past Chaos.
That's right. We're recording on a very special day today.
It is a very special day. It's a great day to be alive. That's what Jet thought 6 years ago.
He made his entrance.
Yep. You know, we're constantly on the go, just like probably all families, but our family is extensive, I think. Oh, yeah. And no exception this week. It feels like we're trying to fit 3 days worth of things into like 5 hours.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Over and over and over and over again.
And add in emotions and just human everything into all of that.
Emotions? I don't know those. I haven't had those this week.
I just feel like we can't even take a breath sometimes.
This week I've felt like not on top of the world. Like there are some
I've
points
never felt that. So
but I know during this process for us, I think sometimes I've felt like, you know, we could take on the world and I still feel like we're very strong, but
our strength is tested.
Yeah. And there was a point last night that I was like, dear God, it's like every time you get a little bit ahead or think things are really going great, you just get kicked.
Yeah.
That's what motherhood and co-parenting and marriage and
it is. And I am a firm believer that if you're continuously getting kicked, I feel like it's because you're supposed to be learning something that you haven't. For me anyways, that's how I look at it. I have to be like, okay, what am I not learning or what have I not learned? What am I being stubborn about that the universe feels like just, you know, dragging
me
through
the mud? I think in the last 40 years, I've learned enough. So I'm done. Okay. Learned all the things.
You can't. You can never stop learning.
I know. And I love to learn, but yeah, it's the hard lessons.
It comes at such an exhausting price.
It is. I feel like I've been through enough that I need a break.
Yeah. You want somebody to just say, it's over. It's done. You made it.
You don't have to keep going through the shit. That's what I feel like. Yeah. This is just such a big, I'm in the quicksand and I am trying so hard to get out. And it's a different way than it used to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Because I think we've come so far in life. So you're like, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to have already learned all these things and been through all these things. Why am I still having to go through them?
That should be
give it to somebody else.
Yeah. And I don't even wish this on my worst enemy. Okay. But geez Louise.
Oh.
So this week's just going to get busier because Jagger, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, but we've talked about it on our social media that Jagger, who is John and Lauren's middle child and part of our entire crew middle kid. He has had some medical scares,
right?
Which Lauren and I took him to the doctor and it turns out that he's has absentee seizures, which isn't a big deal, you know, medication. But anyway, he has to go have a sleep study, an overnight sleep study. And we were going to do that together, but now Lauren's going to fly solo. John is also having some medical things. So he's going to have a procedure this week. And I'm going to California
to go pick up another kid
because Tanner's coming home and I'm so excited for him to come home. And I'm really excited to get away, especially right now, which I don't know if I want to go to California because that's kind of the mecca of entertainment.
I think it's going to be good for you, though.
I don't know. But
I'm a little jealous.
I was in the desert. So I think I'm going to be desolate in his desolation for a while.
Yeah, you're going to leave me here again.
And I don't want to leave. You were supposed to go with me. And now things again, once again, don't work out the way we want them to. But I am extremely torn about missing all these things. And I know they're very, you know, minimal things because everything's going to be okay.
I think in a big blended family, that is the hardest part is you because, you know, when you're doing this on your own or you're in a smaller family, you're used to being there for every single event. But with a big blended family, there are so many kids, so many people. You can't spread yourself that thin. We've had to pick and choose. And you can't even get sad almost about not being able to make it to certain things. I know I can't always make it to some of my son's appointments because I got other ones.
Yeah.
We got so many other kids. I mean, I don't know how people would do it.
But here's the trauma and the PTSD from our high conflict custody battle.
Yes.
Because we thought we always had to be at everything. And if we weren't at everything, then
we were a bad parent.
We're a bad parent. And the judge would criticize us and the attorneys would condemn us. And, you know, society is like, oh, that mom's not there. That stepmom's not there. That dad's not there. And
it just brings me back, which I know that's totally not the case for us now.
No, but it is traumatic. And I mean, I think once you go through something like that, it's very hard to take yourself out of the habit of thinking that you are in the fight or flight. So even years later, we still deal with this. I vent to you all the time about how paranoid I still am, even though I know in my mind nothing's going to happen.
Right.
It's still very hard to get it out of your head after you've been traumatized.
It really is.
Takes a while.
It really is. But I know that's comes with the big blended family territory. I just feel guilty. But on top of that, I already have travel anxiety.
Oh, well,
you know, I get to my destination. I'm good. You know that. You travel with me very often.
But you've had bad travel experiences as of late.
I'm here to tell you, my last trip was not good. And I still want to write a strongly worded letter to American Airlines, because you were not my friend. Please don't do me wrong. I was going to say on some equally exciting news, but I don't know how excited I am now. I'm kidding. It was exciting. We had our big coming out as reality TV stars.
Yes.
Our family was introduced this week on the episode of You, Me, and My Ex, and it was amazing because we released the trailer and it was, you know, we got some negative feedback, which is understandable. We knew that was going to happen. And then the show airs and you and I are watching it and both of us are crying. Because they were happy tears, though, I think, or they're emotional tears, because we don't see these things before America sees them. Yeah. We know we live through them, but you don't know what the other person has said or how it's going to be portrayed or whatever. So it was just, it was a lot to handle.
Yeah. It's this, the entire journey of doing this, which has gone on now for what, a year and a half
between, or more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has been exhausting. So people are seeing a little tiny bit, but you have to realize the amount of time that it went into it.
Yes.
Was absolutely exhausting, all for 10 minutes to be shown and your lives to be shredded on social media.
Yep.
That's really hard, because I'm going to be honest with you guys. Not only one is this our real, like, we're real people. We have real lives.
And real emotions.
But when we were doing this, we put our all into it. And we really laid ourselves out there because we wanted to be raw and genuine with certain things. And yet to have this go the way that it's going is just, it's hard. You have to have, I will tell you right now, you have to have thick skin.
I will tell you right now, if you have any mental health issues, don't do a reality show, because it is one of the, like, this has been the greatest experience for me and a dream, truly, truly a dream come true. I mean, I have related it several times to winning the lottery, because it's once in a lifetime. And I think our attitude and our outlook on it in the beginning was, we're going to make a difference. We're going to change the world. We want to show other families it can be done, because we did not have a relationship, period. Mm-hmm. And we went from that to being extreme sisters. I mean, we are so close.
And I mean, now that it's out, we can be very honest. I think what you're experiencing, we're both experiencing bouts of depression and anxiety right now, for sure. But I think I suffered from more of that during the filming process versus now you are suffering from it after the fact and the end result. So both of us, while we haven't spoken publicly about it, this has been very hard on us privately behind closed doors.
I mean, I'm almost ashamed, because I know that we get on our podcast and when we do our lives and we're so empowering, I feel like we try to be very empowering to people and tell them, you know,
be positive
and you can take on the world and just put a smile on your face. And I mean, I've tried, I think I've hidden it from everyone else other than you, but I want to be in my bed. I don't want to get out right now.
I was thinking about this, and I think we've tried so hard to be the voice for so many women that we've shouldered a lot of pain, that we know what it feels like in certain situations, but that gets very exhausting. I mean, I want to be able to be that voice and that strong pillar for women and mothers out there, and wives and sisters and daughters, but it comes at a price, because we can put a smile on, we can talk positive, but it does get under our skin sometimes. And we had to live very real things, a lot of which we do keep private because we would like something private in our life.
My privates aren't even private at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else. I don't think people know. And it always reminds me of this commercial for depression. And, you know, I know this is really silly, but it's like, you know, the one with the girl that, or the woman that's holding the stick with a smiley face on it.
Yes.
And she,
yes,
that's how I feel all the time. And I think because I'm I'm not a good actor on TV because this was reality and it's our real lives, but I am a good actor in life, meaning that I can put a smile on and pretend like everything's okay when I'm literally crumbling inside. Yeah. And that's what's been happening for the last, at least a very good week. And I just don't know what to do. I know what to do. I noticed, just understand that we are not what people think we are. And you can't take a 3-minute clip or a 10-minute clip on a reality TV show and think you know everything about someone.
You really can't. I can attest to that because I feel the same way. I may not look as positive because I'm just a very negative person and my face probably shows it half the time. But when I tell you that I suffer greatly from depression, I mean it. And you've watched me on a ball on the floor crying.
Yeah.
Your ex-husband has seen me on a ball on the floor crying.
You watched me on a ball in a chair this morning crying.
There's so many things you go through because while we are in a beautiful place that I never would have expected to be in my life, it did come with a price. And I think what we figured out through along the way is we had never truly, like, I think, healed ourselves as gently as we should have.
No.
We did it in a tough guy exterior because we wanted to be strong. We needed to be strong for
when
the people
around us.
When
you take on the responsibility of being strong for others, you forget to take care of yourself. And we preach that all the time. You got to take care of yourself. You got to put yourself first. What we're so guilty of not, and especially during this, like you said, this was a lot of time. This took a lot of energy and it drained us, but it was so exciting at the same time.
Like, we are really a happy family. We all do get along very well. That's always going to be portrayed and shown. And that's very real and true. But the emotions, like the really, really deep emotions, haven't been shown. The deep, I think, anger we still all different ones of us had, and the heartbreak and the hurt and true things. We've done a really good job of processing those amongst the four of us. But we were doing it now for all of the world to see. And it was the most draining and difficult experience to really expose yourself in a vulnerable way and to have it just absolutely people give zero fucks. It's really painful.
But you know what? And you said this perfectly. I thought we had already exposed ourselves and we kind of covered our own ass because we wrote this blog and podcast putting out our entire lives and our really true experiences with adulthood, motherhood, womanhood, wifehood, all the hoods.
Yeah.
We put it all out there. And now it's being perceived so much different than we thought it was going to be. And even though you know the truth about yourself, it still hurts. It still bothers you.
Sometimes I like to look at that as if we have really gotten to a level that a lot of people will never get to, which is looking at relationships a little bit differently. That kind of brings me to my what would April do today?
Oh, get it, girl.
Okay. So, you know, Rory and I have a very good friendship and we've been friends from the beginning of this. We've never, you know, delved into much beyond that as far as a relationship. But to me, your bond with Rory is not anything weird, right? It just seems like Rory would be friends with me. I mean, he would be best friends with anyone. Of course, you're the mother of his child. But my boyfriend coming into this picture, and I think realizing how close all of us truly were, it is a little bit strange for an outsider. And I don't know if we've diluted the fact that we make excuses for that, or if that's just so normal for us that we just don't care what anyone else thinks. But Rory and I do have a very close friendship. And now I'm seeing that I have someone that is maybe sometimes jealous of that and confused by it. And I never know how to explain it. And now watching you, I'm a fan of April.
Thank you. Watching
her on national TV and seeing how, like, potentially someone could be jealous of your friendship with someone. I don't know. What do you do in a relationship? How do you defend it? Do you explain yourself?
Well, here's the first.
Or do you just say it is what it is?
I think you might have stumped April on what would April do? No, and this is going to trail into our topic, which is ironically very similar to all this. But watching this, because like I said, I haven't seen these emotions. John is not the world's best communicator. I'm just
right.
Put that out there. So some of his emotions that I'm seeing are brand new information to me.
Brand new information to me.
Yeah. I try to put myself in his place, and I guess I would probably have a little jealousy.
Yeah.
And especially for Jake, because you don't even have a tie to Roy.
Right.
Other than being a friend to him.
Yeah.
And you guys have such a close relationship. So I see where he's coming from. But in your defense, we built this family that included Roy long before Jake came into the picture. And when you were going through something that no person, I hope, ever has to go through or should have to go through, Roy was that person there for you.
It's weird. How do you explain a Roy to someone? That's almost where I'm at sometimes. I mean, with things.
It's fucking Roy.
It's fucking Roy.
That's all there is. It's just Roy. That's him.
I will tell you that watching your now husband, who is my ex-husband, be jealous about your fucking Roy in this scenario makes me upset because, hello, John, you have an ex over here too that I would love for somebody to be jealous of because we were so close.
And now, you know what? I had this conversation. I'm just going to lay it all out there today. Okay, here's the tell all for April and Lauren. But I said to you this week, because we had a little incident that happened in our family and here, mm-hmm. okay? We don't always have the greatest time together. Not me and you, but in our family, we don't always get along perfectly. There are ups and downs. And there was a text message that was sent by John to you that really perturbed me. And I talked to him about it. Then I talked to you about it. Mm-hmm. Okay. What not a lot of people understand and what he's still not understanding is that I've prayed for you two to have the close relationship that Roy and I have.
Since the beginning.
However, since the beginning, you and I have had the close relationship.
Yep.
You and John never have had a close relationship, so I've never gotten a chance to be jealous of the ex-wife.
That's true.
I don't know how I would feel in that situation.
If we ran off and got tattoos.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's not a thing I've ever had to deal with.
I would almost feel like that would be a normal thing that you should have had to deal with versus the opposite of what you've had to deal with, which is your husband having very much a visceral reaction about his ex-wife.
It's hard for me to watch. And I know this has just been one episode and there's seven more to go. It's hard to watch John not be so friendly with you because I think a lot of that was kind of, you know, just an act, like he's trying to get under your skin, because he's not always like that. There are times that he's very kind to you mm-hmm. behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And he was very kind when he sent the text message that he sent. So why not just, here was my issue with it. I need you to be consistent.
Yeah.
So I want you to be kind all the time.
Versus using kindness as a manipulation.
Right.
I think that's where we're going. And if you were in our shoes, this would make so much sense, because it has nothing to do with being jealous. I wouldn't see why there would be a jealousy between, you know, John, you and Roy, because Roy's always been consistent with his behavior with you.
Yes,
you guys have always had the exact same type of relationship.
We get on each other's nerves and then we're friends and then we get on each other's nerves.
It's the most consistent thing I've ever seen.
There's never been disrespect.
Never.
And that's...
And I've watched the two of you knowing that, like, I don't know, it was very healthy. It was very healthy to way to
we
argue.
We communicate and argue to, very healthy.
You do. You do.
I think that it's a balance, you know? You're just not always going to get along. And I know that you and John aren't always going to get along. And me and John aren't always going to get along.
I think that's why I've always gravitated towards Roy, though, because Roy's almost shown me as an example of what to be in those situations and what I wanted to be. So I always tried to be the Roy in my situation for my ex. And it never was well reciprocated or not even reciprocated at all. So Roy has always been like my safe place, my like... Mm-hmm. I understand so much of you and you have exactly what I want. And I've just gravitated towards that.
And nobody know. Well, I won't say that. A lot of people don't know that Roy and I started out as friends. We were friends for a couple of years before we ever crossed the line of dating and then eventually getting married. So when you build a relationship and the foundation is on a friendship, then it turns romantic. To me, and I know this may not be for everyone, but it's so much easier to go back to that friendship.
It is. And you have such a history with this person. You know how they are as a friend.
Yeah. When you've shared so much of your life with someone, you can't just turn that off.
Yeah.
You can't just forget all about that. So the only thing I could say for Jake is the same thing that I try to do with John, is just to reassure him that, you know, Roy was my husband.
Yeah.
Now he is my friend and we share a child together and we raised three children together. He's always going to be a part of my life. And
yeah,
and that's how it is.
For me, he's someone that went through a trauma with me. And I don't ever fall back on that. I would never do anything inappropriate to like cross a line per se. But is there really a line when you're just such close friends with someone? I mean, obviously not sexually, but like, you know, that's my person in so many of these dark places that we find ourselves sometimes still in.
You have different people for different reasons in your life.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that before. So I don't think that there is anything wrong with that. You have a bond with Roy that's always going to be there no matter what happens.
Just like you have one.
Right. But no matter if you and Roy ended up together or if me and Roy ended up together or you and John ended up together, there's always going to be these bonds that we built.
I wish my ex-husband would see it like that because we will always have a bond, John and I, of the children that we had. No matter what dissolves the marriage, I think the bond that was once built, no matter what it was, should be stronger than anything that falls apart.
I agree.
I just do.
And that's part of the reason we're able to co-parent so well, because we built a bond. And it's never, no matter what, will never be demolished.
Yep.
Last week, we discussed if moms were allowed to be sexy. And I loved all that positive feedback that we got on that topic. A lot of moms agreed with us, which was really refreshing. And that's the only thing I care about, is the ones that agreed. The ones that didn't,
there was very few that didn't.
Very few. This week, we're talking about relationship expectations. And are they unrealistic? Now, we've talked about something similar to this before. In other words, it's kind of like an expectation versus reality.
Yes. And I think looking at myself in a relationship now versus the relationships I was in at 18 years old, my expectations have vastly changed.
Yes.
The expectations that I held on to and thought I was going to die if my partner didn't do them at 18 years old or 20 years old, I could literally care less if they exist.
Are now. So mundane.
Yes.
And do not matter.
Not at all.
Whatsoever. What matters is your mental health.
Yeah. And I feel like you should have your own personal expectations instead of always having such high expectations for others.
Yes. Because when you start to depend on someone else for your happiness.
And that gets us to the 90-10.
Right. So you brought up this, you had read an article about this 90-10 theory. And I'm going to tell you, it was what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I haven't slept since. Because it really did something to me.
I did not mean to do this to you. But when I was telling you the story, by the way, I wanted to, I don't know if it was clear, but I was referring to John. Did it come across as not that way?
Yeah, like every piece of my life I've really analyzed.
Okay.
Based on the 90-10 here. And I've like tried to research it. And there's so many different, you know, everybody has a different theory about it. But what I understood was you have a relationship, whether it be a friendship or a marriage, and both people are giving 100%. But if there's just a little 10% that's missing from it, you think that all 100 of it is bad.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you go out and you're like, you know what? I don't like that I'm not getting this. So I'm going to find it somewhere else. And you find it and you think, oh my God, I finally have the most amazing relationship and it's the most perfect, best thing that's ever happened to me, only to get in there and realize, yeah, you found that thing that you were missing, but you only found 10%. The 90 you already had.
Yeah.
So now you're stuck with a 10%er instead of a 90%er.
Yeah. And what you've done is in your head, you've already had the 90 for so long that I think you've overlooked it. You may be taking it for granted. So when that 10 comes in, it very easily feels like 100%. You've gotten one of everything in life. Like you've fulfilled 100%.
Because you're living on that high, that 10% high.
Yes. But then you wake up and you realize that 10% doesn't have the other 90 that you already had.
Right.
So now you've settled for a 10% when you've lost 90. I think the rule specifically applies for those that are, you know, in whether it's an unhealthy relationship or an unhappy relationship. It's when you're seeking something, and 9 times out of 10, you're seeking a validation within ourselves. What do we always say? You don't need someone else to find happiness. You find it within you.
And it took me a very long time, and I'm still finding it.
It's still
it.
Something we learned.
I think that's something that you constantly work on throughout your life, is making sure you're fulfilling your own happiness.
Well, because our happiness levels change.
Something yes, that, what made me happy 20 years ago doesn't make me happy anymore.
Exactly. Yes.
Right?
That's exactly true.
I can relate this to a friendship that I had many years ago. There were so many things that we had in common, and I was just in love with our friendship, and it was perfect. But there was one thing that overshadowed everything. And I'm like, gosh, I just don't like how straightforward this friend was to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was a dig or a dagger every time they would point out something. It felt like they were pointing out my flaws constantly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, I don't want this. I'm going to go get a friend that loves everything because I love everything about everybody.
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't really love everything. You and I just had a conversation a couple of days ago about, I don't like this about you. Well, you know what? I don't like this about you.
Yeah.
But that's what makes us love all the other things about each other because we balance each other out. So when I go find a new friend that is not doing the one thing that my old friend did, now I'm missing all the other things because that friend, it wasn't a dagger she was throwing at me. It was honesty. And I didn't want to hear it.
It's really hard. I like people that can just call me on my shit because it really makes me feel like they're not lying to me. And I'm one of those people that I can't stand a sugarcoater.
So you put a poll out on our Instagram.
Yes, I did.
If I recall, and you tell me, I'm not going to say it.
No, but go ahead.
The number one thing that people need in a relationship.
Honesty.
And?
Trust and communication.
There you go.
Those are the top ones.
Ones of, like, I kept going through the answers and everybody's, I was like, is the same person doing it over and over? No, it's trust, honesty, communication, which are three very, very important things. Yep. And when you start a relationship and it's in your mind based on one thing,
right,
which is trust. And then you get into this relationship 10 years deep and realize, oopsie, what I thought was the truth really isn't. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know, right then you come to a fork in the road and you got to make a decision. Do I continue on with this? Are we able to work through this? So say you do work through it. You're building that trust all over again.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
It skews your sense of reality, which you look at yourself then and are like, well, what is real? And it's very hard for us to make any sort of decision or emotion if we don't know what's real. When you're questioning what was real or what was not real, I don't know how to feel about this. I don't know if I'm sad about it. I don't know if I'm angry about it. I don't know if I'm okay with it because I don't know if it's real or not.
Because you convinced yourself that this relationship was real only to find out that you were being lied to. It's so, people don't understand what they do when they break your trust because I would have taken a bullet for Jerry. When we were married, I believed everything he said till I didn't. And then there's no way to gain that back.
There's really not. And you know, when you go through coming on the other side or the heartbreak and you're starting to look back, sometimes the only thing that can make you feel better about convincing yourself that it was, you know, you were in love or you were this or that was holding on to those pieces that felt very real to you. But I know for me, I've been in a marriage that is so diluted now, I don't know if it was real. When, you know, my ex-husband tells me he doesn't remember where he married me, and I'm like, but you planned that. Like, that makes me feel like, oh my God, I already knew it wasn't real, but like in your head, you're convincing yourself that something is tangible because I want to believe that something was formed on love at some point or another. I do still believe in love, but I question so much of what is considered love or not, because it's like something people can so easily tell you and they don't believe it themselves, but they can make you believe it. And that's a scary thing.
It's terrifying.
I would much rather someone just be like, Lauren, you're a bitch. And I really mean it. And I'm like, okay, thank God. Cause that, I
At
really
least
believe
you're
that.
Honest.
I really, truly, I know you're honest right now. Please don't tell me you love me when
That's
you're confused
about it. That's what's so
hard
about seeing comments about yourself when you know they're not true. Like you can tell me. I was so prepared for April's old and haggard and her lips are too big. Got it.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. My lips aren't going anywhere. They're here to stay.
Please make some factual
but
judgments.
But I can't take the comments of untruth.
Yeah.
Because
you're a homewrecker. You're a whore.
Yeah,
you're all these things.
That's not me. I'm not that.
Now, people can call me a whore. Go ahead. Go for it. I'm ready for it. I'm here for
it.
You
like the sex. I don't like
the
sex.
Yeah. So. I know what's very real about me. And I also know what's very real about you. So it does blow my mind and also remind me that people can so quickly judge when they have no idea.
Nope.
That's why, as women, I really think we need to find our voices more often. You've really got to tell people, no, this is who I am. Let me show you. Because I'm not going to allow anyone.
What? That's what I love about what you've done for me in our friendship is you've, which I've always had a very big mouth and I've always had a lot to say, but you've allowed me a place and the courage to really stand up and share it with other people.
Yes.
Which I love. And it's like my favorite thing. And why didn't I think of this sooner? But I love that about you. I love that you've pulled that out of me. And I'm not going to sit here and be quiet. I don't care what I've signed or what I've promised or what. I'm not going to allow someone to say all these horrible things. I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. I'm a best friend. I'm a daughter. I'm a wife. I'm a sister.
You're a lovey.
I'm a lovey. I'm a human.
Yes.
And I'm not going to let someone tear me down when it's taken 40 years to build me up to where I am.
I think as someone who knows what it feels like to be torn down, we were just talking about this. Like, I was bullied in high school. I was made fun of at different points in my life. I was always judged because I was, I think, too afraid to like truly speak up and just be like okay with the fact that I was a certain way. And then there got to a point where I'm like, I'm not going to let these people make exact accusations or bully me or say these things, but let me set the record straight right now. Am I a hoe? Absolutely. Do you want to hear some stories? Do I have a little bit of a mouth on me? Have I gotten into some fights? 100%. When you start owning all of your mistakes and owning truly who you are, you take the power away from other people.
But see, I think I've done that, okay? Because I wrote this whole blog about it.
We're going to keep doing it.
And I do this little podcast here that I tell. That's where it's been so hard because I have opened up my life to the public. I've given the people what they've wanted. I'm an open book. I've told all the things about myself. So there's no need to make anything up.
But what have I told you? If it's still bothering you, it means you haven't learned something from it.
Dear God, what else can I learn?
I don't know. Listen,
well, I'll tell you what I've learned. I've learned that maybe I'm the problem.
No, you're okay? Not the problem.
I can see why.
Well, even if you were, you just have to own it.
Common denominator. I can see why people are very tarnished by marriage and relationships.
Yeah.
Because marriage is, things aren't always smooth sailing. And that happily ever after fairy tale, eventually the mice go away and the slipper breaks and all the it's just not always going to look like it does on the movie.
And if it does for some people,
that's great.
That's great.
I'm happy
for them.
Just
know that if that's the type of marriage you have, there is a whole slew of us over here that it doesn't look like that for. And we're owning that that's okay. I'm not preaching, and I don't think you and I are trying to get people to like never get married and, you know, quit your marriage as soon as it gets rough.
We've begged people, think about it. Don't get divorced. Do everything you can.
We're putting our own mistakes out there so that other people don't make them.
That's how you learn.
It is.
Hello.
Trust me. I told you this earlier. You've made me a softer person because I think
You're welcome, Jake.
I think I needed some lessons in life and I was not learning them the easy way, just like everything. Well, and I know that I have a lot more to go. You're talking about, you know, speaking your truth and you do it so well. It has taken me just as long as it's taken you because I'm still paranoid about what the repercussions are when I do speak my truth or I do say certain things. I do tread lightly, but I don't want to be like that anymore. That's an area I don't want to be at. And you over here are sitting there like, I don't know why you care. Say it like it is. And I'm like, okay.
Take your own advice, right?
Okay, I will do it.
Even when the analogy exists in a marriage that, you know, say they do have the fairy tale, and I'm sure that some people do or think they do or what have you. It's not an everyday, all the time, constant thing. Happy, healthy marriages take a lot of teamwork, a lot of dedication.
And I think more so once you get into a second or third marriage, like you and I are, you know, we're in our third round of all of this.
Yeah.
Do you feel sometimes, this just came to me, so sorry, but do you feel sometimes like this is your third marriage and you have two ex-husbands that are still in your life, obviously, because you have children? Does that make you feel like you're almost being spread as a wife three times, like in three ways at the same time? Like you're in a marriage with one man, but really you're in a marriage with three. Does that it feels like that for me sometimes. I'm still split.
Yeah. But let me back up. Even if I wasn't married to these people anymore and there weren't kids, I'd still be their friend, Roy.
Roy.
Okay, I'm just going to throw that out there. But back to your question. Yes, I do.
Do you think maybe that's why it makes it harder in a third marriage?
I think so. Because part of you's still there in those old marriages. And just, I think I said this on one of my interviews for the show, that it seems like Roy and I, nothing has changed except we don't have sex anymore.
You're still, I think you're, we're still giving work into those. Like,
well, it's still a relationship, yeah, even if it's not a marriage. Now, yeah, am I going to go to counseling with Roy and hope that we, no, because, you know, our marriage is over, but our relationship isn't.
Right.
So I'm going to work hard for that because we do have a child together and we do need to continue to get along. Not that it's hard to get along with him, you know,
yeah,
Roy gets on my nerves, but I love him and I'm always going to, and I don't care what anybody says, he's always going to be in my life.
Yeah.
So if they don't like it, then they don't have to be in my life. That's where,
agreed,
you know, yeah, that's just how I feel. And I'm not trying to be ugly or mean about that, but I think we, it's important to disclose that we got to where we are in this point in our lives because we gained so much knowledge and experience through, let me break it to you, trauma.
Yes.
Okay. Every situation that we've gone through, good and bad.
And I don't think we ever use it, our trauma, as an excuse. I know sometimes I do, and I have to work on that. But I don't think that's not what we base every single one of these conversations around. We're trying to show you how to go through the trauma and actually live a healthy life after it and not always let it affect your daily life or your next marriage or your relationship with your co-parent or, you know, anyone new that may come into your life. I'm hoping that we went through all the trauma we went through in both of our individual lives, not necessarily the trauma we went to together, but individually as women. From birth, we have had enough of our own.
Literally birth.
That had nothing to do with our divorces, our finalized divorces, and our co-parenting. I hope that in itself comes through. And that's really what I want to bring to people. I'm a human. You're a human. We've made mistakes in life. We've loved. We've lost. I mean, I'm in my mid-30s. You're 40 now. We've lived full freaking lives.
We've lived more of a life than some 80-year-olds.
Yeah.
And to me, it's exciting, but it's also sad because some of, yeah, the things that we've gone through, nobody should ever go through. But yet we're taking it and trying to make a positive out of it.
So that nobody else has to.
Somebody else not have to deal with it. And I'll make an admission right now. Do I think that I was healed fully before John and I got married? 100% not. Do I think I'm healed now? Nope. I thought I was. But I was worried about healing everybody else,
yeah,
and fixing everything else. And a lot of my time and energy went into you and John in the beginning, mm-hmm, and the custody battle, yeah, that we all were entangled in. Me, I'm more of a, oh, if you would just brush it under the rug in, yeah, my own,
yeah,
for my own things, if I just push it, yeah, under the rug, it's not there. If I can't see it, I don't have to worry about it. It's like that closet that's got all your crap in it that you never open. My life is that. In my head, I have a big closet that's full of shit. Don't open it. It's going to explode. And, yeah, this show is opening it. And it's exploding.
You are speaking to my soul, okay, right,
it's exploding.
Now.
I'm exploding. I'm, yes, having to sit and stare, yes, at a man on TV that I love beyond measure and hear him say things that I've wanted him to say for 15 years, mm-hmm, that he never said.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of the reason our marriage didn't work. But now on national TV.
Now he's decided.
He's decided he's going to open
sing like that a canary.
He's unpacking it right there on national TV. See, he brought his suitcase and he's ready to unpack that shit.
I don't know what it has been about this filming, but I felt the exact same way. I thought I dealt with everything.
No,
I really
didn't.
Did. And I, let me tell you, I did not. And I'm sorry.
If you ever want to hurt yourself, just go, yeah, on national TV and talk about your trauma.
I promise I thought I had gotten through everything and being in a new relationship, I was like, oh, this will be easy. Nope.
You think you learn so much if you've been married before. Yeah. You think, oh, I've learned all this. And I brought that into this marriage with John. I will just do everything different than I'd done it before. And it'll have to work, right? Because those didn't, because I did these things. I mean, the bad things. I brought the good things with me. But some of the bad things, I left those in the past. But I feel like it takes, in between marriages, God forbid you ever have to go through a divorce, you need to take years
really,
to
though,
heal and work through all of that, mm-hmm, pain. And don't leave anything out. Don't hold anything back.
Nope.
Tell it all. Tell everything that hurts you, bothers you, worries you. Tell all the things.
I did such a good job of suppressing it that by the time I started realizing I had not unpacked it, I didn't know how to.
No.
I had no idea how to communicate absolutely anything. So where I might have been an ice princess in the past, it became much worse. And it's very bad right now. Like going through all of this and watching it. It causes
you to shut down. Oh. And if you're already a person that shuts down, you're locked up like a vault, baby.
I'm numb.
I want to be like, I'm going to use my Vampire Diaries reference because I love it. I want to turn off my emotions. Like I want to turn off my humanity. I don't want to feel anything anymore because, you know, I'm looking here at my husband that I'm married to that I love so much. And I want our marriage to work. I don't want to hurt him. Right. And it looks like on TV, unbeknownst to me, apparently, that I'm probably hurting him by having such a close relationship with my ex-husband. And then now you've got these creepy internet Karens that are really
they're going in hard on
me
a us.
New one and telling me what a horrible person I am. Well, I mean, first of all, that's not the whole story. So just hold on. There's more.
Yeah.
You judge me for something I actually did. Like, let's go back to me being this teen mom that I was, because I did that. Yeah. I wasn't a nasty mom, but I was a teen mom and to people that was gross.
I'm very
judge me on that.
I'm very sensitive around this, obviously, because it's my ex-husband who's on television getting to talk to me however he feels like it, but then also kind of looking sad. And that's like very frustrating to me because, well, you know, I was painted out to be something I wasn't by him. And I really just wish I was seeing some sort of emotion the way that Roy is giving to you. I wish I was seeing that in my case. And it's turning out a little bit different. And, you know, again, that goes back to the reality versus, you know, my expectations. I always have held on to the same expectations for that man. And I've been divorced from him for 5 years. At what point do you wake up and you're like, okay, now you're the idiot. You're the idiot.
But it's, you're giving someone the benefit of the doubt.
You're right. But it's because I have children with this person and I am a very hopeful person. And we said this on the podcast that we interviewed for recently. I do believe that you can be friends with someone that you loved, but does that mean that my love is real and his wasn't? Because I was very much willing to be friends. I mean, your mind just goes in so many questions.
It does, because I can tell you to combat that people heal differently. They handle trauma differently. There's so many things that go into that. And you can sit and analyze it all day long. You're never going to know until you get inside that person's head. And if that person's not willing to let you inside their head, we're just going to have to call that a wash.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's why I do gravitate, well, obviously to you, because I feel like everything is very real. And I've gravitated towards Roy as my kind of like, I'm a safe space. Because again, that was a very real thing that I'm reminded of, at least during that time period. I'm like, no, I really had those emotions. Those were real. He witnessed them. We shared them together. And they may never go acknowledged by the person that brought my emotions on and hurt me. And you're right. At some point, I can't expect that anymore. So my level of expectations in a relationship moving forward have always been mutual respect and equality. I want to feel like an equal person.
Yes.
That to me is a huge expectation. Other than that, I have very little. I know that's bad, but it's just like, just treat me nice. Treat me like I exist.
Honesty. I want to be heard.
Yeah.
Those are big things for me. Yeah. Honesty being number one. Don't break my trust, please, because it's just something that I don't want to have to repair.
Yeah.
It's easy to just build it from the beginning, not to build it and then destroy it, repair it, build it again. At some point, it's insanity.
So when people ask us how we make this work, you and I, being friends, I always go back to this because I remember in the very beginning, we were both very untrusting of one another. Mm-hmm. I think that's normal. You just never know what you're getting yourself into. But when I tell you we never stopped building the trust, I mean, we really never stopped. If it started to waver, if it was ever in question, we addressed it right away and we kept moving. It was a lot of work.
I still do.
It was the most tedious thing in the beginning to build trust and be willing to trust.
And it was a lot of up and down.
It was, but we didn't stop.
But we never gave up.
And because of that, I have never felt like I couldn't. You've never lost my trust, if that makes sense.
Right.
We kept the ball going forward so much that it was never broken.
And that's one thing I love about us. And I said this week that we continue to grow all the time and together. Mm-hmm. Which is so much fun, watching one of the people you love most in the world grow with you. And our bond, if nothing else is ever going to come out of this reality TV show, our bond is so thick that there is not a thing in this world that could destroy it.
I agree.
Not one thing. And we could sit and try to analyze everybody else and try to figure out why they're doing what they're doing. But at some point, I think we have to focus on what's good and perfect in our lives, mm-hmm. and close that chapter and call the book a mystery.
I think at some point we have to give ourselves some credit and really be proud of what we've accomplished.
Yes.
Together and as women and how we're raising these children together. And we've got to just be proud of ourselves. It didn't happen with the men. Maybe we didn't figure things out right.
We're doing a good job.
But we're doing
amazing,
right.
Sweetie.
We're doing amazing.
Okay. We really, really are.
As we're sitting here in tears.
Exactly.
It's been rough. Hey,
it's been a rough life.
So thank you for coming to our TED Talk today.
So calling the Kirks, shit's about to get real.
Oh God.
Hey, like literally. Just going to read you the headline. Okay.
Okay.
The headline reads, Tennessee. You're welcome, Tennessee. Tennessee nurse admits to mailing feces to husband's ex-wife. This is real, like from the newspaper, okay? This nurse faces federal charges for mailing packages to her husband's ex-wife that contained biohazard material, including, this is not funny, this is so disgusting, and I'm uncomfortable even reading it, that contained a used sanitary napkin and feces. Poop, people. Poop. Real poop. Like legitimate poop.
Why?
You're asking why. Okay, I don't know. The Postal Service filed a complaint against 37-year-old Della Marie Gibson. And the irony's not lost on me on that last name. Okay. Of Loudoun County, which is very close to my hometown, mind you. After being questioned, Gibson admitted to mailing two packages to her husband's ex-wife containing feces and a letter. Oh, this is where it gets good. A letter containing a blood-stained feminine pad. Blood belonging to a patient in the hospital she worked at. Gibson told investigators that she mailed the products because she wanted the kids to know the truth about their mother and her husband's ex-wife. That she was lazy, didn't work, and lived off the system. Thank God Gibson was fired from her job and later arrested for vandalizing the ex-wife's car in the parking lot of their children's high school where she was attending her children's awards banquet.
Wow.
You're welcome that I never did that.
Yeah. First of all, she sounds like a bitter ex, not the current. That's so crazy to me.
Yeah.
Why was she so angry with this woman?
So it doesn't tell all the story. I would love to find out everything. Like,
Can we interview her from jail?
Right? I didn't even Google her name or anything to figure out the whole whatever, but... Wow. I mean, I read this and I'm like, you've got to be kidding.
Talk about a real life shit show.
For real. And we say we have a shit show. We got nothing on Shitty McShitterson over here.
What? I'm trying to wrap my head around it, into my petty brain even and like get like see if I can really maybe I can.
First of all, I don't like poop. It's gross.
Why would you mail it?
Why would you mail your poop? I know that we've all talked about this, that there's this website you can mail somebody's poop. I'm getting these Billy Madison vibes. What does she scream to her husband? It's one of those flaming bags of poop.
What's the lesson? What are you trying to teach this woman?
But on top, like the poop is like a whole thing, but you put somebody else's
blood,
period blood? On a ew.
I'm gonna gag.
I can't even deal. Wow. Ladies, that's not classy. Maria, no, what's her name? Della. It's not classy, honey. You can't do that. You're a shitty person. No pun intended.
Is her husband still married?
I don't know. We gotta figure this all out. Okay, well, we're gonna go figure it all out. But I thought of a lot of things, like, you know, but I would never have sent you shit.
I sent you a watering can. It was brand new.
That was fine. It was new.
Brand new. I never thought to... Even an enemy, I don't think I've ever had that crumb through my mind.
Nope. Not today, Satan. Oh. Okay. Don't forget to catch the latest episode of You, Me, and My Ex. That's going to be on Sunday, July 11th. There's no episode this week because of 4th of July. Also, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms. And we love to hear from you guys. So please keep the positive comments coming because we're on a sinking ship over here.
Yeah, and if you see some Karens, you go to battle for us.
Hey, thanks, guys.
I really thank you.
We had one of our friends that even went to Facebook jail for us. So we're so thankful.
Shout out to Maisha.
Shout out, Maisha, for going to Facebook jail because you were putting down the internet Karens. Just, you know what, if nothing else, send us prayers. Send us wine.
We're doing this for you guys and your entertainment. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. If you'd like to find out more about the Kirks and our big blended family, visit our website at pastchaos.com.
Make sure you don't miss out on any of this train wreck and chaos by hitting the subscribe button. If you really want to get personal, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Be sure to tune in every Sunday when we release new episodes. We would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to and review our podcast.
And just so y'all know, we love Jesus, but we cuss a little.